I want to preach a sermon this morning on living in God's kingdom. Luke chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, verse 20 through to 49. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." The kingdom of God runs in the opposite direction to the kingdom of this world. When the world says take, God says give. When the world says revenge, God says love your enemies. When the world says hatred, God says forgive. When the world says selfish ambition, God says service and sacrifice. When the world says self-glory, God says we are to live to glorify the Lord. When the world says self-sufficiency, the Lord says my grace is sufficient for you. The world says, get rich now. God says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. The world says, seek for power and influence. God says, the greatest among you will be the least of all and the servant of all. Our thinking has to be different from the world's thinking when we become believers. We've entered into the kingdom of God this morning. And the Bible speaks about the renewing of the mind, about God transforming the way we think. We're told to have the mind of Christ, that we would think as he thinks, that we would respond as he responds, that we would be heavenly minded, not earthly minded, spiritually minded, not carnally minded. God is in the transformation business, isn't he, this morning? And that's the business of making you and I Christ-like, that we would reflect his divine nature. That our purpose, our aim, will be to pursue godliness and holiness, that our desire would be to be purified and sanctified, that we'd walk in the Spirit and not the flesh, that we would be partakers, as it tells us, of the divine nature. And this is a work of God, isn't it, in our soul? This changing process that we're all in. The Lord is working in us to deliver us from our old nature, thank God. Amen. Our old ways, our old thoughts and habits, and bringing about a changed person, a new nature, renewed in mind and heart, getting rid of that heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh. Being transformed, it says, by the renewing of our mind. See, our old man is corrupt. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. Our sinful nature, we are all born with, is an enemy of God. It opposes God. But we, through the Spirit, have put it to death. And we do that daily, don't we? We have to crucify that old us daily. We have to mortify the flesh. Put it to death, in other words. And there's two things that are required for you and I to achieve that. Firstly, our willingness to surrender to God. And secondly, the Spirit of God to empower us. It is a work of God from beginning to end, but it does require us to cooperate with God. It requires us to yield our will to His Spirit. God has given you and I a free will, and He's done all that is necessary to save us, as He has for all men. But it still takes a willingness from us to obey Him. It takes a willingness from us to surrender to Him, to give our lives to Him. We can't deliver ourselves from sin and habits. We can't free ourselves from the bondage of the flesh. But if we're willing to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He will give us the power to change, and He'll deliver us and set us free from our sin. He who the Son sets free, it says, will be free indeed. But we have to let Him set us free. We have to surrender to His will. And that means putting our faith and trust in Him and saying, okay, God, I'll go your way. I'll let you have your way in my life. I'm willing to let go of my sin and let you change me. And once we come to that place where we are willing, and I think it's only the grace of God that leads us there to repentance. It says, doesn't it, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's only when we're willing that God can move, that God can set us free. But to get to that place of surrender often takes God working in us and intervening in our circumstances to bring us to a place where we finally submit and we yield that stubborn will that we all have and say, yes, Lord, you know best, not me. You and I, we can be hard work for God. We resist Him. We fight His will. We try to do God's will on our terms and conditions, in our way. And God has to break us. He has to humble us. He has to convince us, often through bringing us to our knees, that only His way will work. We're dunderheads, aren't we, so many times? We're stubborn as mules. Too proud, too strong, too caught up in this world and in the pleasures of this life, or the cares and worries of life. And we need shaking up in our lives. We need that spiritual alarm bell, that wake-up call in our ears. We need God to say to us, wake up, sleepy one. It's daytime. The night is far spent. It's not time for carousing in the daytime. It's time to move with God. Time to let God have His way in your life. Time to yield to His calling, to His Spirit, to His purpose and His direction for your life. To let Him be your Lord and Master. To let Him rule over you, not sin. To let His Spirit guide you, not the world's wisdom. To let Him sanctify you and purify your mind, not allowing yourself to be polluted by this world's influences. Excuse me. Not there. You know, we're really stupid at times. We think we can go it alone in this life. We can't. We'll fail because we're weak. We are but dust. Our best is not good enough. Never will be. We need God's intervention. We all fall short of his glory. Every one of us. The best of men is men at best. We need something more than human effort to change. Something more than religious sounding phrases and church attendance. We need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. We need the power of Christ transforming lives, making us Christ-like, so that we could love as he loves, show mercy as he shows mercy, bless as he blesses, give as he gives, do good as he does. Even as the Sermon on the Mount tells us to love our enemies and do good to those that despitefully use us and persecute us, that we'd be a people after God's own heart who will reflect that nature and character of Christ. That Jesus would be our first love, not our last resort. That in the time of trouble, we'd go to the throne of grace, not fall to pieces. We'd be rooted in Christ. We'd be the trees of his planting, trees of righteousness, clothed in those garments of righteousness, washed in his blood, walking in the Spirit, acting in faith, believing on his word, going where he tells us to go, doing what he tells us to do. In other words, trusting him with our entire life. God has given you and I many precious and powerful promises in his word, if we'll submit to him. Salvation, forgiveness, healing, mercy, provision, joy, peace, freedom, life, and life more abundantly. Deliverance from the enemy and from the bondage of sin. Wisdom and knowledge and revelation of truth. And all these things can be ours if we're willing to let God have his way in our lives. But the question is are we willing? Are we willing to trust him fully? Are we willing to step out in faith? Are we willing to let go of that old man? Are we willing to let go of sin and selfish ambition? And are we willing to trust our heart to God? To give him all our weaknesses and failings? To make ourselves vulnerable in his hands? Are we willing to put down our pride and stubbornness and say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? To die to self, to be crucified with Christ, to let him rule and reign in our life, to make him Lord over all that we are and all that we have? Or are we too afraid to do all that? Are we like the servant who kept the talent and buried it in the ground? Or are we willing to let God help us and use us in our lives, in his service, doing his will, letting him lead and guide us? Ultimately, it all really does come down to an act of our will, doesn't it? Will we obey and believe? Or will we disobey and rely on our own strength and ability in this life? You know, doing God's will does not naturally come to you and I. It opposes our will. It defies our logic and earthly wisdom. I mean, love your enemies. That's a hard call. But Jesus tells us that God is like that. He says, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. You see, God is kind even to the ungrateful, even to the wicked. And Jesus tells us that we're to imitate him if we want to be children of the Most High. He tells us to lend to those who ask, not expecting anything back, to give, and it will be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, it says, overflowing. All of this goes against human nature. But we don't want human nature, do we? We want to partake of the divine nature. And Jesus promises that if we do this, our reward will be great. When we suffer for Christ's sake, when we sacrifice for Jesus' sake, when we face ridicule and rejection and mockery and opposition from the ungodly and the unsaved, it doesn't go unnoticed by God. He does reward faithfulness. He doesn't miss anything, does he? Even giving a cup of cold water So one of his disciples gets rewarded. See, who are the ones who God blesses? The rich, the wealthy, the satisfied, the full, the well-fed, those who laugh, those who are thought well of by other men? No. God blesses the poor in spirit, those who mourn now, those who are hungry, those who are hated for his name's sake. So who are the poor in spirit? Those who know that they're spiritually inadequate. Those who know that they're spiritually in poverty. Who know their need of God. Those who hunger for righteousness. Who desire to be godly and holy and seek justice and righteousness in the earth. Those who mourn. They mourn because of their spiritual lack. They mourn because of the wickedness that they see all around. They mourn for their own wretchedness and their need of God's mercy and grace. They mourn when they see the wickedness that men do and the lack of regard for God that we see in the land. So when you feel your own shortcomings and you're aware of your own sinfulness and corruption, don't despair. Thank God that you can see it and feel it. You know, it's when you're comfortable you should be worried. When you think, I am rich and have need of nothing, that's when you should be worried. Like the lukewarm church, they thought they were rich, but in reality, they were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. We can't be clothed in the garments of Christ's righteousness until we see our own wretched condition. You can't be clothed unless you know that you're naked. You can't be cleansed unless you know that you're filthy. You can't be saved until you acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of God's mercy. So when you feel inadequate, then rejoice because you can finally see your need for God's grace and mercy in your life, for God's power. The Apostle Paul rejoiced in his weaknesses and his infirmities because he knew that Christ's grace was sufficient for him. That in his strength he was made perfect, in his weakness. Our sufficiency is of God. God has chosen the weak to confound the things which are mighty. He's chosen the foolish things to confound of the world to confound the wise, so that no flesh could glory in his presence. See, if we were all perfect here this morning, and we had no faults, we wouldn't need God, would we? We could take some glory for ourselves. We could boast a bit. But no, it's all of God, isn't it? It's not of us. We just have to be willing to say yes to God. To give up on ourselves doing it and relying on God. To let him transform our minds and hearts so that we would not conform to this world but to his will instead. That we'd have the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. For you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, we're to put off the old man and to be renewed, it says, in the spirit of our mind. To put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, God is transforming us. As we respond daily to his Spirit and his word, he'll mould us. He'll shape us into the image of Jesus. He'll change our thinking. He'll renew our minds. If we're willing to let him complete that work in us. He'll smooth out those rough edges, and we've all got them. He'll hone us and shape us so that we won't think with worldly wisdom according to the doctrines of men, but with heavenly wisdom according to the will of God. That when God asks us to do things that seem illogical to our carnal minds, that we'd obey in faith, that we would be willing to trust God, even if that means us having to go through suffering, difficulties, hardships, rejection of men, so that our lives can be a reflection of Christ, that we would act, live, talk and walk as Jesus would, that people could see there is something different about us. And that something is that we've met Jesus and he's changed us forever, that the old us is dead and that we're new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Colossians 3:1-17, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, uncircumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.